When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
It's time to get inside the Giants huddle.
Huddle up, huddle up, huddle up.
On Giants.com.
Here we go, here we go.
And the Giants mobile
app. Get them in there, let's go.
Part of the Giants podcast network.
Welcome to a front office edition of the Giants Huddle podcast, brought to you by the City College of New York, doing remarkable things. Learn more at ccny.cuny.edu. Today, we are joined by Giants General Manager Joe Shane. Joe, going into day one of the draft, what were some of your objectives and goals?
There was probably four or five players that we coveted that we thought that may be there as of our pick. So, around pick 16, I think it was the Commanders pick. That's kind of when we knew the draft would start. And there were still, quite a few players up there that, we liked, and we were a little bit surprised that they were still there. So we never really knew how the draft was going to unfold. So we had multiple plans. We had, potential trade opportunities with other teams in place. So it was really unknown, but we needed to be prepared for every scenario that may present itself. And I felt like we were, and it actually turned out really well for us.
Did the top of the draft kind of fall the way you expected?
Yeah, the top of the draft fell. Maybe the guys didn't go exactly to the teams we thought they would or the slots they went to, but probably our top 10 to 13 players we nailed in terms of, hey, they're probably going to be gone before we pick. And then, again, once we got into the Washington, Pittsburgh area, we said, okay, well, this is where the draft really begins for us.
What goes into the decision to make a trade?
Yeah, the decision that goes into making a trade, we have trade card charts that we use, and we have different, formulas that we use based on, whether it's a Jimmy Johnson chart or something our analytics department put together. So you look at the value, you see if it makes sense. Are you going to, win, lose? Is it even? And then at the end of the day, if you lose a little bit, are you really winning because you're getting the player you want? Or for me, sometimes I look at the pick I'm giving up. Who do we like at that part of our board? And, if that player is so much better than what you're going to get at the, the pick you're giving up, it just makes sense. I've been there before where you're disappointed you don't get somebody you want, and the opportunity to get players that you like, you feel much better, at the end of the day.
Deonte Banks, what made him the right choice?
Yeah, Tay Banks was the right choice for us at 24. Again, prototype size, he's got speed, he's got strength, he's got physicality. He can play press man. He's a 4-3-6 guy that really fit what, the defensive staff was looking for in a corner. So he ended up being the fourth corner off the board, in the first round, and he was actually an ideal fit for what we were looking for in our defense. And, he was, a guy that the defensive coaches coveted, the scouting staff liked, the, coaching staff in terms of Dave's liked. So when you have consensus within the building on a player and his fit and what he can do for the organization and he's there at the right opportunity, it's a win-win for everybody.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because he didn't need it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Day one is over, so now how does your focus shift?
Yeah, at the end of day one, you know, you kind of take back, you know, take a deep breath, see who's still on the board. You're excited about the player you got in Tay Banks. We're excited about that. And then we came in on Friday and, you know, we looked at who was left, where we were picking, who we thought may be there. You know, is there anybody we would trade up for if they fall? Is there anybody if, you know, these, you know, five or six guys aren't there, maybe we trade back. So we go through those scenarios and then we start making phone calls around us. Hey, there's a chance we want to move up, or hey, we may move back into the third round, whatever it may be. So we kind of duplicated a little bit what we did on Thursday before round one. We had a plan in place going into to day two with, you know, the potential move in different directions if we needed to based on the players available.
John Michael Schmitz, what made him the right choice?
Yeah, that was a tough one to sit on our hands and wait for because, you know, center was potentially a need. Again, we have a lot of confidence in Ben Bredesen and John will come in and compete with those guys. But, you know, really liked his school film. You know, I saw him play live. I saw him at the Senior Bowl. He had a great week. The coaching staff, another guy that there was consensus between the coaching staff and the scouting staff. New York Giant DNA, you know, through and through, smart, tough, dependable, and a good football player. So the fact that we were able to stay pat, and again, I had to sit on my hands on that one. And, you know, luckily he was there when we picked. The Bears traded up right before we picked him. There was a little bit of concern that that may be a guy that, that they covet, you know, Ryan Poles being a former offensive lineman. So that was a little bit of an intense moment when they traded up in front of us because, you know, I think it was known that center was in need. So excited to get John and looking forward to getting him here.
In round three, you're able to trade up and get another player you wanted in Jalin Hyatt.
Yeah, Jalin Hyatt's another guy that we had graded fairly high on our board. And, you know, when we got into the third round, you know, he was sticking out a little bit like a sore thumb. So as we were going through, you know, I talked to Tim and Dennis and Brandon and said, hey, let's start making some phone calls and see if, you know, if we could give up our fourth. When does it come into play that we would just have to give up our fourth? And, you know, Sean McVay had actually texted Dabes the night before. So, you know, Dabes is like, hey, what if I text McVay? I'm saying, yeah, go ahead. So we typed in the terms and Dave sent it off to Coach McVay and eventually they called us back and, you know, it worked out. Jalin was a guy, again, he brings this, you know, some height. He's over 6 foot. He ran 4.3. He can stretch the field. And, you know, that's something that we thought maybe we were missing a little bit of last year is the ability to stretch the field. And, you know, people want to play tight boxes against us with Saquon. And, you know, this gives us a chance to, you know, go vertical if we need to.
You've talked about relationships around the league. How much does this help in the draft?
Yeah, it's very important for, you know, not just myself as a general manager, but, you know, Dennis Hickey, Brandon Brown, Tim McDonald, to have relationships around the league so we can make these phone calls and these guys pick up the phone if you're calling to make a trade or potential scenarios. If you have a good relationship with somebody and then you're on the clock or scenarios are unfolding during draft day, it's easy for them to pick up the phone and give you a call because you have prior relationships. So I always go out of my way, whether it's league meetings, combine, owners meetings, to, you know, make sure you continue to form those relationships with other general managers and personnel directors around the league. And you never know when that relationship's going to come in handy and you can get a deal done.
How important is day three to you?
Yeah, day three is very important. I think you saw it last year with some of the players that we were able to get. Bellinger, Belton, DJ Davidson played some snaps for us. Unfortunately, McKeithen got hurt and Beavers got hurt. But those were all guys, and then McFadden played meaningful snaps. So sometimes you can get starters out of the, you know, day three, and then sometimes you get some really good depth players and contributors or special teams players. So excited about some of the players that we got in day three. Again, they'll come in, they'll compete. You know, maybe it starts off on special teams and depth roles, and, you know, again, maybe based on the character of the kids, they develop into starters. So looking forward to those guys getting in and competing, and, you know, whether it's depth roles or starting players, they're equally as important.
Let's go back to Hyatt for a second. You were on the field for the Tennessee-Alabama game, and he goes off. Was that a perfect storm?
Yeah, I did attend the Alabama-Tennessee game, and it's funny because Tillman, the other receiver, was one that was super productive the year before. So he was kind of the guy you're going to see, and then that was Jalin Hyatt's coming out party. And you're like, oh, my gosh, who is this guy? Oh, he's an underclassman, but he's draft eligible. So when you saw his speed live and the production he had against that Alabama defense, a coveted Alabama defense coached by Nick Saban, you know, that's kind of his specialty. You're like, okay, who is this kid? And the more research we did, we continued to follow him, and he continued to elevate his game each opportunity he was given. So that was my first exposure to him. Again, he really wasn't on the radar. That game obviously put him on the map, and then, you know, we continued to follow him, and, you know, he continued to answer each question throughout the process in the spring, and, you know, we're fortunate to have him.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, if you can give me just one line on Eric Gray.
Yeah, Eric Gray is a quick, explosive, instinctive three-down back that we're excited to have.
Trey Hawkins III.
Big, physical, long, fast.
Jordan Riley.
Big man with length, strength, can hold the point, and can defend the run.
Javarius Owens.
Tall, long, fast, deep field safety that can come up and strike you, but also can play in pass coverage.
How important is the communication between your entire staff during the three-day process?
Yeah, the communication throughout draft weekend is very important between whether it's the executive staff, area scouts, national scouts, whatever it may be, just to continue to have dialogue, talk through scenarios, you know, which players, make sure we have the medical, the background, everything's airtight. A lot of these meetings and conversations have been had leading up to the draft. So when you're on the clock, we've already went through A to Z on each player and who we would take in different scenarios. So the communication leading up to the draft is important, but on draft weekend, it's equally as important just to make sure that everything's airtight before we turn in the card on a player.
We saw Coach Brian Daboll had his coordinators pop in to give their input. How does that work?
Yeah, it's important to have the coordinators on board when you're drafting a player, and they do a phenomenal job. We give them an extensive list of players to look at, and it's obviously more daunting for the coordinators because the list is longer than the receiver coach or the D-line coach. You know, they've got to do all the positions. So we do like to bring them in if it's, you know, two players are on the same line on the board and, you know, where the roster is now, maybe based on who we've drafted previously, maybe – you know, you go with a different player if they're in the same conversation based on need. So I like to bring them in. I like to give them ownership in who we're taking. They're, you know, if they're motivated to coach guys, there's always a better chance for success for the player if you have a coordinator and position coach that are motivated to work with them.
Can you talk about the hug between you and defensive coordinator Wink Martindale after you took Deontay Banks?
Yeah, when Wink came in, we took Tay Banks. He was obviously super excited. And, you know, it's something for his defense that's very important, you know, having two good corners. So with Tay Banks and Adoree, I think, you know, the defense has taken a little bit more shape in terms of what he wants it to look like. But Tay Banks was one of his favorite players in the draft. And when we were able to get him, you know, he was obviously very excited. And my back's still a little bit of sore from that bear hug he gave me.
This year we saw that you FaceTimed the players during the draft. What went into that decision?
Yeah, we FaceTimed most of the players after we drafted them. Just thought it was a nice personal touch. They could FaceTime, see everybody that was in the draft room, kind of bring them into the draft room. And then we could also go to them. And, you know, a lot of the players showed the camera or their phone around. And we could see their families, moms, dads, friends, teammates. So it was really cool. It was a nice personal touch. We enjoyed doing this year, getting to communicate with not only the player, but their family and friends. And really special moment for the player and the organization as well.
We thank Giants General Manager Joe Shane for joining us on this episode of the Front Office Edition of the Giants Huddle Podcast. We'll see you next time, everybody.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.